Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football. How are y'all feeling tonight? How's everybody doing?
Feeling great. Been a good weekend.
Yeah, man. It's been a good weekend for me. Shout out the Blues, baby. Before we hop into the episode, just want to say thank you again to all of our friends, all of our supporters out there, whether this is the first episode you're watching or this is, you know, coming along for the journey. You've been with us from the beginning. We just want to say we do appreciate you, and we do see the comments starting to pile up. We do appreciate it. We do want that engagement. That's why we do have a lot more content. Again, we're going to try to give you our recaps. That's each of us giving you a take from some of the teams that we don't normally talk about on our episodes, as we try to give you our team's takes. So we give you our recaps of the weeks coming out on Tuesday. We also have our lock of the weeks for betting. I know Gabriel's not here today, but we'll touch on that a little bit later on how we did this week. And we have Champions League, we have Europa League, Conference League coming up as well. We had some midweek games. So it's wild. I feel like a lot of the players have talked about, you know, the amount of games that these players now have to play, and it getting a little excessive, I would say, is what we are hearing from the players' account. I know we weren't going to start here, but what do y'all feel about the amount of games players play, just like on a personal standpoint?
I mean, it's a lot of games, man. I think I know that they're paid a lot of money, but I just think, you know, especially when you look at some of the competitions that are being thrown at, like, you can tell the players aren't really invested into it. Mm-hmm. I think it just ruins the quality of, like, the product. Because if the players aren't really invested into it, then, you know, you're not going to get everyone's best always. So I think it's a lot of games. I think we talked about it a little bit about last week, but, you know, even like when you look at the international games, like that prestige of it, for me at least, is like kind of gone now. Because, you know, I used to look forward as a kid growing up, like, okay, like my favorite players that I watch in the league are now going back to their national league teams. But now you can even tell, like, even some of the players that are going, like, you know, these nations leagues and stuff like that, like, that stuff doesn't really matter. The finalissima, you know, like, I don't know. I think it's a lot. And, you know, I think Rodri obviously is a prime example of, like, and an advocate for it as well, too.
Yeah, too many games. I think we're starting to see some of the guys that have played deeper into seasons, especially not even for their clubs, but as well as their country. You can see some of those guys, you know, feeling the consequences of playing those many games.
But, nah, I mean, the thing for me is, you know, we just came out of an era where we saw Pepe play into his 40s. We've seen a lot of these, you know, defenders, attackers. Ronaldo is getting up there. He's almost in his 40s. Messi's in his mid-30s, late-30s. We're seeing a lot of these guys who have had immense talent play longer to their careers because of sports medicine. But then, you know, the business side of the game as well, like y'all kind of said, we're adding games just to grow the sport, which is good. I think the reason they're adding these games is to grow the sport, which I think deep down is the intent. But there's also the business side, and they see that they can make money off of it as well. So, you know, with Rodri being hurt, it's taken a big toll on Man City, and we'll get into them in a second. But, you know, we're seeing injuries all around the league, and I'm sure this will come up as we go into these seasons deeper and deeper, as we go deeper into Champions League. You know, I'm sure this will come up again once players get hurt, but it's just something to keep into. I keep seeing it week to week, so I kind of just wanted to keep tabs on it. But to hop into this week games, as tradition goes, you know, if you don't win the week, you don't win your weekend match, you do go first. And this was the game of the match, or the match of the weekend, excuse me. Tottenham versus Manchester United at Old Trafford.
The theater of dreams.
And as the Cincinnati Bengals like to say, walking your trap, take over your trap. Because they definitely walk into Old Trafford and took over Old Trafford from the jump. Like, from the first 2 minutes, man,
it was
United didn't look ready. like at all, man. Like, and the crazy part is that, and at least for me, as wanting both of you to lose, as both of you are my rivals, when I look at the first 2 minutes of the match, you can kind of tell how it's going to go, all based on body language. You know, as a former player, you remember your coach says two. The first 2 minutes of the match are important. The first 2 minutes of the half are important. The first 2 minutes after a goal is scored are the most vulnerable minutes for another goal to be scored, because there's so much emotion on the other side. Sometimes they kind of forget to defend. And so the first 2 minutes of any half, you're kind of looking more so at body language to kind of see how players are going to be set up for the next at least 45 minutes. And within the first 2 minutes, you guys get scored on. So I initially know that this is going to be a game where you're playing from behind. And I said in our group chat, I think Ten Hag is going to have to manage his way out of this one. Mm-hmm. And I said, unfortunately, he set up the players how he thought they were best set up to win. And I'll let you get on the formation and all that. But Ten Hag set up your team in a way that he thought would be formidable against a very, very, decent Tottenham side. They've had their ups and downs in these first 5-6 matches, but they're still a strong side. They started to put on, or started to tack together a few wins. So I'm looking at them like, all right, cool. They just got scored on. Unfortunately, whatever the players were going to do, this is a Ten Hag match now. How does he manage his way back into this? And unfortunately, the players didn't allow him to. Your players let him down, and I know in the group chat we're kind of talking about, is this on the players? Is this on the manager? For me, this is 100% on the players. They didn't look ready from the jump. They get scored on early. They weren't ready to retaliate. They just looked discombobulated. And then the red card didn't help. You know, from there, the match was dead. But as far as what I saw, that was kind of my take on it. You could talk about, the technical aspects, the goals. But once you go down to a team that is very, is very confident, I would say right now, especially after they've had some decent wins in the past couple of weeks, it's just a wrap. From your end, though, as a fan, as a supporter, as someone that was a little shaky with the lineup to start, once you saw the goal, how did you feel?
I mean, yeah, I think the goal really, I felt like, was very disappointing, especially when you look at the way that we conceded the goal against FC Twente. Similar situations. You would think that, we would correct that after, what happened the week before. But, for Van de Ven, which is incredibly quick, but for him to get past, that many players, I believed in that moment, someone should have taken the initiative and taken a card there, a yellow card, just stop the play from happening, from progressing, so that we can collect our bearings, especially considering that, the game has just started. Again, if all of us are on the same team, and if I'm watching you, Mike, and Gabriel get beat in front of me, like, situationally, you have to do what's best for that moment. And I just felt like someone had to, it's a collective. It's a team thing. You can't blame it on this person or this person. But yeah, you can say this person probably could have done better in the tackle. This person could have done better in possession. But that's their center back getting an assist in the first few moments of the game. So you got to look at the players, and then, really where the kind of the game was gone was the red card. I know there's a lot of talk about, was it a red card? Was it not? Me personally, I believe it was a red card. I think it was unfortunate because when you watch the replay, you can see that he does kind of slip.
Wait, my bad. I was muted. So you do or you do not think it was a red card?
I do. It's unfortunate.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I do. Okay. It's unfortunate. It's very unlucky, but, it's just unlucky because he slid. No, I mean, it is what it is. Like, I'm not going to come on here and try and, say, we saw like a similar red card, or maybe not similar, but just a red card instance last week. But I'll admit when it was a red card. It was a red card. It's just unfortunate that he slipped going into the tackle, but nonetheless, I think just how high your cleats and your studs were, the ref had to make that call, and unfortunately, it was the right decision. But and it came at our expense, but the game was gone afterwards. We couldn't really get together afterwards. I thought that, you know, when you look at the second goal as well, too, it really stems from a mistake. Lissandro should have done better on the at the halfway line, because the player who got it, who I mean, he tried to clear the ball, he missed. They're in running on goal. That's how the second goal happens. So that's unfortunate. But again, we're a man down at that moment. I just feel as if like it's just unfortunate, man, because obviously there's this big narrative, and you know, a lot of people believe that this manager should be gone. Me personally, I don't, because I don't look at this game today, and I don't look where, like, how can you point the blame at this guy? When you look at the game against FC Twente, we were in complete control of that game. I think you guys watched that game. We were complete in control of that game. The reason why we didn't leave with 3 points that game was because of, again, of a mistake. Eriksen turned the ball over again. It's a team sport, but we have a turnover in the middle of the field, leads to a goal. Here we are, 1-1. So very unfortunate. I felt like the manager did the best he could. I know at the beginning of the game, I said that I would have liked to see Ahmed play, but you know, you got to give it to Spurs. They've done it really well this year. They've looked really well. They play an aggressive style. They play very high up the pitch. So, you know, we were going to have space in behind. So to start Rashford and Garnacho made sense to me. But, you know, I just think when you look at the two big moments in the game for me, when you look at the first goal, just again, just situational awareness, that's on the players. And then, you know, like the red card afterwards, like it's very unfortunate. But yeah, obviously to lose, you know, 3-0 at home against another, you know, big team in the Prem is tough. And obviously there's the narrative that's there against the current manager, but I just felt like you gotta hold the players accountable as well too.
Yeah, so my question to you is, do you think you guys have improved from last season?
Yes.
And what are you looking at to save it?
I believe that we're creating chances. I just feel as if, like, we, even statistically, when you look at, like, the numbers, like, you know, in terms of, you know, where are we in terms of winning the ball back in the league? You know, like, we're improving that. In terms of chances created, we're improving. In terms of actually possessing the ball, yeah, we're improving. But, I mean, let's be real. In the top games, even when we were good with Sir Alex, in the top game, this has nothing to do with Sir Alex, I'm just saying. We've never been a team that just dominated possession, even against you guys. It's never been a game where we just always dominate possession. We play on the counter. We've played like that. With Sir Alex, we've played like that with Jose, which was to me probably the best we've looked since Sir Alex. And I mean, this is where we are right now.
So what are your concerns about your goal scoring? Because it's becoming an issue, it seems.
100%.
You guys are not scoring enough goals.
But again, you look at the game today, Xerxes had his opportunity, went right at the keeper. You know, we got to convert better. But again, like, even with him, though, like, he's finding the chance himself in the chances to score. I'm not comparing him to this player, especially because this player is doing well now. But a lot of the talk around Nicholas Jackson last year was he's not executing when he gets into the positions to score. And he found himself in a lot of good positions. And again, what we said was if he could get that to click, obviously, you know, we would see a different player, which we are this season. Me personally, bro, like, I feel as if, like, he's finding himself in the positions to score when we're talking about Xerxes. Mm-hmm. Now, when we get to the other players, you know, I just feel as if you have to be a little bit more accountable.
Do you think the supporting players behind him could be the issue? Do you think you guys need to switch those up?
I personally think when I look at, just like I said to you guys, I think Garnacho and Rashford are both talented players, exceptional players. They're too similar for me, though. In a game like this, like I said earlier, I understand why he starts, but Ahmed has to start every single game for me. And the reason why is because when you have players like Ahmed, Xerxes, Mainoo, even Eriksen when he was playing, you have these possession-based players that do give us, you know, some sort of rhythm, some sort of pattern of play, like some sort of like we can hold the ball for a few passes, right? Mm-hmm. But then you see when it gets when some of those players are not there, and when it gets to the ball gets to other players like Bruno, and bro, Bruno like turns the ball over like so much in the attacking third. When you look at even before the red card, every time that we had the ball in the attacking third, poor decision. It was either a shot, a poor touch. Like, come on, man. As a whole, I just feel like we have to be better. So to answer your question, Mike, yes, I feel like the people behind him have to be better. He has to be better at converting his chances. And again, just situationally, we as a team, bro, like the first goal that we concede today have nothing to do with our attackers. That's a point in the game where if that doesn't happen that early, the outcome of the game could be different. But again, it's just the guy who walks through our whole team. This is our center back looking like a winger, crosses it in. You know what I'm saying? No situational awareness, though. That's not, you know what I'm saying? So, the team has to be better, man, as a whole.
So for me, the biggest thing that pointed that was glaring to me, and I don't know how you feel about this yet, but I feel like y'all not a team yet. Like, before the game started, you know, right around 11 o'clock, I sent you the lineup, and I was like, "How do you feel about this?" And you said, "I don't like the Ahmad not starting, and I don't like Rashford and Garnacho starting." Just what you said. You said, "I don't like them starting at the same time. They're too similar. It doesn't make sense." And within the first 2 minutes, you saw miscommunication with them, which led to Mickey picking the ball up and just going in and getting the assist. And from there, I'm looking at them more so in the replay, because I saw it live, but then the camera is following the ball, so you don't really see the after effects of what happens after you lose the ball. But not only does Rashford lose the ball, he then is arguing with Garnacho and isn't even like attempting to turn back. And not only are those two the highest up the pitch arguing about losing the ball, now you have Mickey van der Ven at midfield, but you have Ugarte kind of looking to see if he should track back or if Rashford's going to track back, because this guy is on the run.
And it's unfortunate for him.
He's fast. And he's in the middle of the pitch like, okay, is Rashford going to follow him? Or maybe I should. So he's already making this decision a second and a half too late, when you only have really a split second to make a decision. So he's already a second behind the ball. And then that has a chain reaction to the point where you have him pass four Manchester bodies already in the box before anyone even thinks to pick up. And Brendan Johnson's just in the back end like, "Hey, can you pass me the ball? There's literally no one even here." And that happens in the first 2 minutes of the match. So imagine that happening, which spirals into the red card, which second half, there's no way you come back. And the biggest thing to me is y'all not no squad right now, bro. You guys are bickering on the pitch about things that really shouldn't be happening in the first 2 minutes anyway. And then not only do you not really have anyone on the pitch that can kind of be the captain once Bruno leaves, Bruno isn't even confident. Like I said last week, 16 shots on frame, he doesn't have a goal. And then he leaves after the first half. Now there's no captain on the pitch. He's tossing it to whoever as he leaves because he's pissed.
I'm glad you brought that up, bro.
Like, bro, like I'm saying, in the first two, you guys are former athletes. you know when you're better than a team, because sometimes their body language is like, man, I ain't even trying to play him right now. I already know what you know what I'm saying? And for a professional, and for a professional to show me that, bro, like these guys are all professionals. So the skill level between them is right here. But if I know I have you mentally and y'all bickering amongst teammates, it's a wash. I knew the game was going to end up 2-3-0 just because you guys weren't going to score. There was no way you guys were scoring. After the first 2 minutes, I saw that you guys weren't scoring. So I think that's where Ten Hag, and I don't know what he has to do. And maybe this isn't even a Ten Hag thing. Maybe this is where Rude has to step in as that first assistant. Like, hey, guys, like, maybe this is where Rude has to step in and not be like the technical guy, but be the glue guy. Because it doesn't look good on the pitch. And you guys are going to win games because – you guys have the talent. Like, I'm not even going to talk about Xerxes missing and like all that is going to come. You guys are going to win games because you're going to win games. But and I said this a few weeks ago, you guys are going to be a mid-table team because of this. I don't want to cuss, but because of this bullshit, bro. Like, that's like, I know it's only 6 weeks in, so it feels like super pressure because we only have a small sample size. Mm-hmm. But based on the small sample size, like, I can already see what's going to happen. We're in October now. Like, our next matches are in October, and then it's going to be November, and you'll see, like, damn, October, we only got, like, 4 out of a possible 12 points. And then it's going to spiral. And, like, that's where I see it going. So I think that whatever happens needs to be more, like, internal before we see it. And I don't know how long that takes. That's just my take on what I see, because Chelsea had this same issue, bro. Like, and I said this last year, a couple years ago, I was like, bro, we have the talent, we can win games, but there's no identity, there's no culture. They're, like, these guys don't know each other. They're all new guys that got put into this new like petri dish and are expected to, like, grow together. Like, it like, none of this works yet. And you guys brought in a lot of players, which is good. You know, you're starting Ugarte and Maino, which you've wanted to see. You know, you guys are starting, the Mazraoui looks good, but these guys don't know each other, and there's no, like, glue. There's no cohesiveness yet. And I don't know if it's this Rashford, just his ego. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's an ego thing. I don't know if it's a nobody likes the manager thing. It just don't look right. And I can tell because I was just in it. At least with Maresca, I can say whatever he might be old school and, like, super, like, strict and, like, I value hard work type, but whatever it is, the guys like him, or at least they're buying in. They're buying in a little bit. And for whatever reason, maybe, you know, Ten Hag's overstayed his welcome. And I saw, and I don't want to talk too much, but I saw something super, super interesting that you've kind of said, but I wanted to echo it just because I saw it recently this week on Twitter. So I follow, you know, these big British guys that have big followings. And one of the Chelsea guys, his name is Seb. I don't know if you follow him. His real name's Sebastian, but he goes by, like, Seb on Twitter. And somebody was talking to him about Nkunku starting after Nkunku had his hat trick midweek. And he blatantly, like, responded to the boy. He said, you know, Nkunku's not going to start over Nicholas Jackson. Nicholas Jackson is who, like Nicholas Jackson was brought in by like the owners that aren't on Egbali's side. He's like, he's like, Nicholas Jackson is their guy, so he's going to start over Nkunku no matter what Nkunku does in these big games. And I'm just sitting there like, you're right, bro. Certain things, like, you just have to, like, certain things are just going to be in the fiber of your organization, and no matter how you feel about it, it just is what it is. And that's how it is with Rashford. And Salam has echoed this we've been on this podcast for years. Rashford is the golden goose of Manchester United. So it's like, you kind of see whatever he says goes, you know? He's not Mbappe over at PSG, but he's kind of like the golden goose. So, like, for me, you either find a way to work with the system or you just have to let him go. Because at this point, Rashford is Rashford. You know, he's MBE. We joke about it, but he's the guy. So Bruno is, for better or worse, your captain. So when he does this rubbish, you have to deal with it. And Ten Hag has to manage that. And so whatever it is, it just looks clunky right now, and it's showing on the pitch.
Yeah, I think you'll be able to, especially with Bruno missing the next three games, I think you could potentially see, you know, what the team looks like without a Bruno, without a
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he decides not to, you know, start Rashford and, you know, put Garnacho there, put Ahmad on the other wing. But again, man, I just feel like it's the players who need to step up. You know, like the all the players who don't get the opportunity. Again, like when I look at, I mean, this will be the last thing that I say that, like, but again, like this year when I look at who's been good in a United shirt,
Ahmad.
The first person I would say is Ahmad. Well, I mean, the first person I would probably say is Mazraoui. But
okay.
Second, I would say Ahmad. Afterwards, it's like I like what I've seen from De Ligt. All things considering,
yeah,
you know, this is a new guy.
In the small sample,
you know, he's not
out here. He looked good today.
He's not out here like making mistakes. He's showing that he can play. Okay. Onana has been decent. So I just feel as if everybody else is just kind of like, you know, you still have like a lot to prove, man. And I just,
so when do you,
it's a tough position to be in, especially considering, you know, we're in approaching October now. You know, missing three Premier League games is a lot, but you know, we'll have the opportunity to see what the team looks like with some of these guys not in the picture. So yeah, we'll see.
When do you start looking at your manager? And we can move on.
That's a good question. That's a good question. Because I'm on here. I'm pro Ten Hag. I think he should stay. Yeah, he has faults, just like every person.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this: he has an incredibly tough set of games coming up. The first being Porto away from home. And then Aston Villa away from home. And then Brentford at home. Now, FC Porto in Europe, I mean, they show that they can go head to head with Arsenal. You know, that's a good team there. Aston Villa, they're proven in the Premier League this season and last season.
Mm-hmm.
They look really good. Even though they dropped points today, that's a good team. And then the tricky one, Brentford. I think if we don't get two wins from there, I think we're in trouble.
Well, he plays in Porto because the red card won't matter there, right?
Yeah, but I'm not. No disrespect to him, but I'm not saying he's like, okay.
You don't move the needle like that.
He's in the picture. Great. He gives us a better chance. But again, I'm just talking about for the manager, though. You know, this has nothing to do with the players. I'm just thinking with the players, because I look at this 3-0 loss today, and I don't put that on him. You know. But it is what it is. He has to take it on the chin. He's the manager. But I think if you lose to Porto, like this early in Europa League, you drop points in the Premier League to Villa and Brentford, you're in trouble, man. You're in big trouble. Especially because it's still early enough into the season to where we can still salvage, you know, some of these situations. So I think these three, and I don't want to react, and I hate to say it, but it's like he's on the watch. But it's like these next three games for him are incredibly huge because, you know, if Europe is looking bleak and, you know, we're only getting 1 point from the next two games in the Prem, it doesn't even matter what I think about you. You're toast.
Yeah, but I think that's a good place to end on United, you know. Draw against Palace, draw against FC Twente, and then now the big loss against Tottenham. Now you're moving forward with no Bruno for the next three matches. When you know you have a brittle squad, that's got to be a little it's got to be a little harrowing, you know, kind of like looking down the bend. But hopefully, I believe in Ten Hag, and I believe you guys have the players. He just has to get y'all mindset right, bro. Like, for whatever reason, like, you guys' head isn't in it. Pause. So I just want to make sure that you guys stay, because it's fun when all of our teams are doing well. So I want y'all to do good, just not better than us. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things. Before we hop into Chelsea, I did want to talk about the other match that happened today. Aston Villa versus Ipswich Town. So Ipswich Town was one of my, or they were my, you know, my highlight of the week last week, just because I've been peeping, man, ever since. So, like I said, their first two matches of the year were against City and Liverpool. That's tough for anybody. Zero out of 6 points. We kind of saw that, kind of expected that. But then since then, you know, draw. And, you know, they've drawn Villa today 2-2 in a match that they honestly could have won. It was honestly one of those end-to-end 2-2 matches where it can go either way. They've drawn against Brighton, you know, and I believe another team up there that's top half of the table. And I'm looking at this team, and I'm like, bro, they're getting wins, or they're almost getting wins against solid teams. They're getting draws away. They're getting draws at home. So it's hard to play in Ipswich, you know, because of the way that their their field is set up. And then they're going away, and they're getting results against teams that are in the top half of the table. So when I look at this Ipswich team, you know, they're a team that could give us some trouble. And I said at the beginning of the year, I think they stay up in the Prem. They currently have 4 points through six matches. They look decent. And Villa, you know, shout out to them, but they below us on the table right now. They're a direct rival with Chelsea, so I'm looking at them hoping that they drop points. And I don't know if you guys were able to watch the match, but I said it, you know, last week. I'm going to say it again. This Ipswich Town, it's going to be tricky all year. I would not just look at them like some little fluff team that we're going to get 3 points on. They're tough home. They're tough away. They're getting results everywhere. Only two losses this year have been to the teams that currently sit 1 and 2 on the table right now.
You think they stay in the Prem?
Yeah, 100%. I said that episode one. I think they stay in the Prem 1,000%. They're better than Everton. They're better than Southampton. You know, they can score goals and they can get results. Like, they can defend. I watched them play today. I mean, the goal that happened, where they were going to happen against anybody, but they can counter. And, you know, the guy that scored for them, Delap, he had a brace. He could have had three. Emi Martinez had a very, very good save in the second half, maybe like 60 or 70 minutes in. And then he ended up getting a goal after that anyway. But he could have had a hat trick. Like, he's a player to watch out for. He's not overly fast. He's not overly like big or strong, but he reads the game really well. He can find spaces in between the center backs, and he can finish. Like, he can finish right foot, left foot, header. Like, he's good. This is, you know, the brace today put him at 3 goals on the season. So he's just now opening his piggy bank. But to get 2 goals against a Villa team that, you know, were top four last year, obviously in the race this year, this team is scary. Because no one really knows what they look like, but they're a little scary. So that's just, yeah. You know, I don't know, Mike, did you watch the game? Salam, did you watch the game?
I didn't see the whole thing. I saw a little bit of the ending, but I will definitely agree with you on Ipswich. I think they're going to be one of the three new promoted teams to stay. They just seem to play the right way. They play with a lot of confidence. So you need that in the Premier League, and to go toe-to-toe with, you know, Aston Villa. Villa's been a really good side. So I think they need to, you know, give themselves some credit. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I think they've moved away from the bottom half. They're a little bit, I think they are 15th or something. Ipswich, yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they're out of the bottom three.
Yeah. So they just have to stay consistent, keep doing what they're doing, and they'll get their wins.
Yeah, I like Delap. I was going to say, the only thing I got for them is I think Delap is going to be one of those players that comes from, City's Academy, that's going to flourish in a new environment. I think he came from City's Academy.
Yeah, somebody was saying that. I think I saw that somewhere.
Yeah, I think he's a good player, man. Big dude.
So Big dude.
Yeah. Yeah. More to come from him, and hopefully them. Shout out to Kieran McKenna too. I like United coach. So,
you guys want to touch a little bit on City before we move to Chelsea?
Yeah.
What did you see in that game?
That's a big draw, man.
That's a
It's a really big draw.
I see the what's the word? The absence of Rodri already.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
One game in and we see what's popping off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is a game that, you know, City would see out somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got the goal in the first half. Anthony Gordon, well done, draws the penalty in the second half and converts it. But this is a game where, you know, 1-1 with 30 minutes left, you see City get a goal mm-hmm. somehow. And today, or this, not today, but this past weekend, you ain't see it happen, bro. And mm-hmm. it's going to be matches like that, like Foden still coming back off the, you know, he didn't start. So he's still getting back into his ways.
Kevin either, so
yeah, they don't have Kevin Gundogan. He's still getting back into the Prem, and I don't think he is exactly what they thought he was going to be when they, you know, when they brought him back. But you know, all these little things, like, we just expect City to be a well-oiled machine because they've won the Prem so many times now. It's kind of like, all right, like, they're just going to do City things, like, they're going to get this goal. But bro, like I said, if you look at the table right now, Liverpool is up top right now with 16 points, right? Then you are 15 points. They're 5 with one loss. Then you have City at 14, Arsenal at 14, Chelsea at 13, Villa at 13, Fulham at 11, Newcastle at 11, Tottenham at 10. Like,
it's tight.
And I know it's early, and I didn't really want to do table talk, but when you look at the table this year versus when you looked at it last year through the first 5-6 weeks, there are already teams that are staying in it that kind of already had two losses. A draw mm-hmm. and a loss, you know. Teams are ready to fight this year. Like, we talked about Villa, we talked about Tottenham, United. I know you guys aren't up there on the table, but you guys have the bodies. Like, you guys can fight. So, I don't know. City, I called them touchable last year, and they were. Arsenal just mm-hmm. couldn't finish the job. This year, mm-hmm. with these injuries, with Kevin being out, they were already touchable. Now, with Rodri gone for the rest of the year, that force in the midfield is gone, bro. Yeah. So, like, they're actually, like, you can touch them up crazy this year.
I hear you.
A quick fade. You know?
I hear you. I think definitely, to your point, Cornelius, I think this season is probably the most vulnerable City is, like, has ever been, probably, in the last, probably almost decade.
This is,
you know, like, this is, like, yeah, I mean, I feel like, which is, you know, just says a lot about City and how great of a team that they have. But for them to be out Rodri and Kevin, it's like, okay, now it's even.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree. You're right. It's even now. And it's like, all right, y'all don't have the two of the top 5 best players in the world. Let's see how y'all rock. Y'all still got – and the crazy part is they still have plenty of guys to fill in the shoes. But it's like, when you knock out those two dominoes, it's like, all right, now it's low-key level playing ground.
Yeah. Like, Foden hasn't even really, you know, really waked
up.
Yeah, he hasn't even got going yet. So you have Foden. You know, Bernardo's going to get his clutch goals and assists every now and then. Even Grealish, too. So, like – yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, this is if they do it this year, they deserve it. They definitely deserve it.
Oh yeah,
It's
I'll be impressed if they do it this year.
It's and not for nothing, they're facing the allegations, which you don't know what that has on them mentally, because at any time, and trust me, like, and this is speaking from a team that just went through it. Chelsea just went through it 3-4 years ago, where when you have that going on in the background, even if you don't necessarily think it affects your play, it does, you know. So no matter what goes on with that, that's always there too. So there's just a lot going on in the City, the city sphere, if you want to call it that right now. So
the city sphere.
Yeah.
That was good. The city
sphere. Yeah, you know, right off the top, man. I should be a rapper.
So what's up, man? Chelsea, man, you guys winning the league or what?
We're not there yet, but we're coming. We're not there yet.
I said it at the top of the year, and I'll say
before,
it again.
Before you guys start, though, I just want to say my piece, and then I'll give it's all yours. Watching the game today, like watching my team play today, and then thinking back of how your guys' game went, it's like, yo, I'm
low-key jealous of what y'all got going on, man. You guys are in a very interesting position right now.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be reactionary, mm-hmm. but like you guys are giving me shades of, you remember when, and I'm not saying you guys are going to be this, but remember when Liverpool, like they started their run, and you started to be like, wow, these guys can score. They can't defend mm-hmm. for shit. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. man, like these guys are putting up, you know, 3 to 4 a game. Mm-hmm. I feel like you guys could score on anybody, especially with most of your chances led to Brighton just being really messy in the back. Mm-hmm. Again, I think, you know, a sign of growth and progression is you guys putting those chances away. But man, must be nice. And you have like the luxury of like off the bench. Mike talks about it, but like the luxury off the bench of like looking over and you're seeing players who are hungry because the players mm-hmm. that are starting are producing. Mm-hmm. There's that competition aspect of it too. So yeah. you know, and that monotonous, just kind of complacent. Let's say complacent. That's a good mm-hmm. way to put it without being too harsh. But yeah. You guys got a good thing going, man. And yeah, your guys' thoughts.
I'll let Mike go first because he's like get the first word.
I don't know, man. This squad is, you know, midweek. Maresca said, "Hey, yes, we're a young squad, but I tell these players, even though we're young, I want people to know we're serious," and I like that message a lot. You know, this time last year, match week 6, we were sitting 11th. And the what do you call it? The message was to be patient, to be patient, to be patient. And I understand it. Yep. You know, it was a new management, new system, whatever it may be. But what we've seen so far tells us that we had the guys to get the job done. You know, it tells me what a difference a manager can make. I mean. I don't even know what to say sometimes. I don't want to get ahead of myself sometimes, but I really have high hopes for this team. I see the talent we have. I see what we can do as a team. You know, my reservations is mostly on the back line. You know, even though we've been bad, I can see the guys improving. Because if you look at the week before, 2 weeks before at Bournemouth, 1-0, they kept a clean sheet. The week after, we went to West Ham, they kept a clean sheet. Midweek, even though the main guys didn't play, there was still the idea of, you know, keeping the clean sheet until yesterday, you know. Yeah, Sanchez made some mistakes. I see it, but I like how we responded to those mistakes, you know. We did not let that mistakes put our head down. Guys were not moping. We went right back at it, and we were able to respond. And I mean, I don't know what to say about Cole Palmer, man. I mean, what a purchase. What a purchase.
He's the best player in the league right now.
I mean, I did not want this guy nowhere close to my squad. I'm not going to lie. Everybody, you can go back in our text message and see it. I'm like, why are we going after Cole Palmer? I said that. I didn't want him. And I regret you ever wondering, you know, if this was the right guy, because my goodness, I can't say enough about this guy. I like our position on the table, even though it's 6 weeks in. These things are mental. These things are, you know, very, very mental. It builds confidence among the guys, and we can compete. I don't want to say that we're going to win the trophy. I think we can compete. If everybody remember, I had us in the top 4 beginning when we did our predictions.
Compete for what?
We can compete. I'm just saying we can compete.
Compete for what? Wait, here we go.
Don't let him bait you.
He's not going to. We can
compete. You know, we just talked about this recently in the chat.
You can't just listen to what I just listened to and not ask, compete for what?
So what was one of the main goals coming into this season? Get top 4. Mm-hmm. Top four has been one of our main things.
It's secure. It's secure.
No. I don't say it's secure. I said we're competing. You're we can compete. We can compete for that top four spot.
Oh, so you're competing to secure top four.
Absolutely. We can compete.
You're not competing for the
Secure top four. You're
good. So I will let you know match week 20 how I feel. Match week 20, I'll let you know how I feel.
Okay.
But right now, I think all our focus is to stay in that top four.
Okay.
And I think if we continue to play the way we do, the confidence within how we're doing can push us to higher limits. But we will talk about that when we get there. But I mean, I'm impressed. I just don't want us to be, you know, complacent. I want us to keep going. I would love for him to, you know, make some adjustments here and there. I love Madueke starting on the right. Like it seems like he will start to. He needs some competition on that side. You know, Jadon Sancho has done a fantastic job on the left. I mean, 3 games, 3 assists. Thank you, Manchester United. This guy was in your building. You guys didn't seem like you could do anything with him. I thank you guys for giving him to us because we can use him. I mean, I wish his goal even counted, but it is what it is. You know, but. Hey, I'm happy with my guys, man. I'm happy with Enzo Maresca. We seem to be more organized. This is all we ask. Give us something to get behind. Give us something to be confident in. And they're giving us that. So now if you come back next week and you tell me, oh, guys, give us a little bit more time. We'll tweak these things. I can be like, you know what, Maresca? I'm going to give you that time. I trust that you're going to do it. So I'm going to give you, you know, time to get it right. But when we're not seeing anything and every week in, week out, we're dropping points, we're not completing games, and you're coming to tell, oh, give us time. Get the fuck out of here, man. So, like, I like where we're going. I don't have many complaints. I just want to see this thing to keep going. And the biggest thing will be that back line. And I think they're improving. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I don't want these clean sheets to fool me. And even though we had some mistakes this weekend, I still think we're improving.
Mike just went on a little soliloquy there. I feel you, though, bro. Get your little... Man, look. I said this probably right after Tuchel left. I said, all right, well, we just fired our Champions League winning manager. I just hope with this new, whatever this new ownership group does, I just hope we find the manager that gets us an identity. Because that's all I've ever wanted since Roman left. And bro, we can go back on the tapes. We can go back as far as we want from when we got in our debacle in the first place. Shout out Putin for rocking the world and diplomatically changing the way that world politics work. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, that landed on football and my club specifically because our owner was Russian. Now, our previous manager, Pochettino, a lot of people liked the appointment because they saw what he did at Tottenham with the young players. They saw what he did at PSG, him going and managing superstars, like a lot of superstars in the same locker room and still winning something. Although they didn't win the league that people forget, they ain't win a league that year. They didn't. Lille won. But they still won like their domestic, I forgot what the cup is called, but they won their domestic League One cup.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the whole... Pochettino's never won a major trophy. That got out of the way. So we get this guy who's still a little young in his career, but becoming a professional. And a lot of people liked the appointment. And what I said from the jump was this guy in the Premier League never won anything. And Chelsea has always had someone that's been a winner. So I say all that to say, we're used to hiring winners. And whenever I feel confident about Chelsea is when I know that my manager is a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we've had a winner as a manager, just in their history, whether as a coach or as manager, whenever we've had a winner, in the locker room, we've had this certain confidence that shows winner. Mm-hmm. And although it doesn't always bleed through, you see it. When Thomas Tuchel was our manager, we won something. But then we moved to Frank, who, although he had won something as a player, as a manager, he was young, you know? Gets us to a final, we lose it. Not ready. I get it. I'm now looking at Graham Potter. I'm now looking at Pochettino. I'm looking at these guys because in their professional managerial career at the top level, them guys ain't won none yet. And I know I just talked about Poch winning his thing over in France. This is the Prem, bro. We're not talking baguette league. We're talking real beans and beans and toast league.
I wish we had that same energy for all the managers in the Premier League.
Bro, we get to
Enzo. I have a question for you.
Afterwards. We get to Enzo Maresca, and he's through the Pep tree. But this guy is a winner, and you're seeing in the first 6 weeks the mentality he's put on our players, bro. Cole Palmer was always this player, but you can tell he saw what happened last year and said, "I'm just gonna let him roam, bro."
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's going on, but he tinkered with the lineups the first 2 or 3 weeks, and then he realized Cole Palmer is our 10. I'm just going to put him at the 10, and I'm going to let him be whatever he wants to be.
Yep.
And I don't want to gas it because I know they'll come off his gas. But the last player we gave that same freedom to was Eden Hazard, and it was because he deserved that role, and it was because he was the one matchmaker on our team that could turn a nil-nil match into 2-0. Within the space of 10 minutes. And that's the type of moxie. That's the special quality that Cole Palmer has. And Enzo is just Maresca now. It's just letting him flourish in that role. We finally have a coach that knows what it is, first and foremost, to win. He's seen Pep do it. He was under Pep while he was winning over at City. And he says, okay, so I understand the mentality and the drive. Because the mentality is going to – the mentality you can impart on the kids and say, hey, like, this is what we need to do in order to win. This is how you have to train. This is how you have to eat. This is how you have to come to game day. This is how you have to, you know, treat your body. But the drive, you can't really coach that into these players. You have to get the drive has to come from them following you as a leader.
Exactly.
And that is the one thing that Maresca has that in the last 2-3 years, we really haven't seen. So I don't really want to talk too much about Chelsea. I want to talk more so about the manager because what I've seen in 6 weeks is the mentality be there. And you can start to see the drive, bro. And I'll give one instance, and then Salam, you can ask your questions because I'm done with Chelsea already. There was a video I saw maybe 3 hours ago, and it was after we got the second goal scored on us after Sanchez did whatever rubbish he did. There's someone who, with his iPhone, was taking a video of Cole Palmer looking at you can really only see Cole Palmer in the frame, but you're looking at Cole Palmer, and it's towards Sanchez because he's in the box, so he's looking towards the goal, and he's yelling at, and you can see the passion in his eyes, like, dog, what are you
doing? What are you doing?
No audio, you can't hear, but as a player, you're like, dog, what are you doing, bro? Like, we had the momentum, now you're over here. And this is just me improvising off what I think he possibly could be saying to a keeper. But you can see the
situational awareness.
This is guys accountable.
This isn't someone who was in Chelsea Academy. This isn't someone who's been here for is his second year with us, bro. The kid isn't even 22 yet. And he has the confidence, but also the drive. And that's something you can't teach. That's something that you either have or you don't, but it's contagious. That's the one thing about drive. It's contagious. You can't really teach it. Some people got it and some people don't. But if you got it, you can give it to the other people in the room. You just got to tap them in. And that's what I'm seeing from what we got from City. Yeah. We got the mentality and we got the drive. And you can see it in Enzo Maresca and you can see it in Cole Palmer. And that's what I think is going to help us get over the hump. Because, bro, last year we made it to finals. We lost to Liverpool. 2 years ago, we made it to two finals, Carabao and FA Cup. We lost in those finals. What was it that didn't get us over the hump? We're still making it to finals. It's we don't have the mentality and the drive. And for the first time since this, you know, U.S. takeover, I'm starting to see it. And that's the difference, Salam. It's not the players. It's not the manager. It's those two qualities that I'm starting to see. Because once those two start clicking, like these guys, like – bro, you can look at your team. The guys you brought in this summer are very high quality players.
Yeah, but if
the team's not clicking and they don't have the mentality and the drive, that's you're not gonna see them at their best.
Yeah,
that's all I gotta say about Chelsea. From an
individual standpoint, though, so like there are some players that you're talking about. When you look at my team, for example, I hear what you're saying about your players, using Palmer as an example. But when you're looking at some of the players, let me ask you, does that apply as a neutral to the players that you saw today for my team?
I think so. Yeah. Because the reason I say that is because we saw Rashford just a couple of weeks ago score his first goal in the Prem since April or whatever. And then he followed that up with a midweek goal too. So he was on a little bit of he was finding his confidence. But then today I look at him and again I only go back to what I'm saying about the first 2 minutes of the match. Y'all looked a little discombobulated. He loses the ball, him and Garnacho getting a little tiffy, and then you guys get scored on 2 seconds later. And from there I see the confidence drop. I see your whole team kind of just now everybody awkward and we don't know what to do. That's what it looks like.
Yeah, but you're talking about seeing Palmer step up and be like trying to rally the troops, like, guys, let's get it together. Mm-hmm. And he's not even your captain. I'm not even trying to be funny. I don't even know your captain. And like that. Yeah. So, you know, like, I'm looking at Palmer and I'm like, okay, when you talk about, you know, having that internal thing, I agree with you. I was just posing the question because me personally, I think the answer to that question is up in the air with some of the players that are on my team. But you said something that I really wanted to ask the both of you guys about, especially because, you know, obviously in hindsight, everybody's 2020, but I completely forgot that it was Frank Lampard that took Chelsea to the FA Cup final that year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the year that Arteta got the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if Frank Lampard were to win that trophy versus Arteta, do you think the narrative of how we look at both managers, would be different knowing what we know now? Because seeing Arteta, you know, not have won that trophy and, you know, for him to be where he is right now, still have not won yet. Like, you know, and Lampard winning that first trophy, do you think that there would be like, is there a correlation to that?
So I have my answer already set in my head, but it's based on this question. So are you saying that based on Frank winning that FA Cup, but the career is going exactly the same after?
Yeah, because I believe that like
their careers would have gone the same regardless of that cup.
More or less. I think Lampard would have gone out eventually.
Yeah, okay. I agree. I still think he would have gotten fired. Yeah.
Do you think Arteta would have stayed
no
like that year?
Yeah, I actually do, but I think the circumstances would have been
really
because so
losing that in the final and then having the two seasons to come in eighth place and then
he wouldn't be around. Okay. There's no way.
I think winning that gave him a lifeline for sure.
Oh yeah,
because the following 2 years were poor.
But wasn't that also he'd only been there what 6 months? Because he came in like January.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like he got in a full year. So for me, I say yes, but I think the leash would have been a little tighter.
Shorter. Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like absolutely. I feel like it would have been the same because think about it, even that second year when he was on his like they hadn't won a game in like 10 matches or 8 matches.
Yeah, we were talking about remember when we first started the pod, we were talking about relegation. We were talking about and I was just posing the question.
I think he would have had more like, you remember when they were like, if you don't win a game in the next 3 matches, like, nigga, you gone. Yeah. Like, I think he would have had that a lot earlier. And his tenure would have been a lot more strenuous. But I do believe winning that FA Cup gave him a longer leash. Like, it gave him a little bit more of a lifeline. Yeah, I think if Frank would have won that, it would have given him a little bit more of a lifeline. Mm-hmm. But Frank wouldn't have won that because of good managing. He would have won that off the strength of our players were in their primes. Mm-hmm. Like, our players were really good back then. So, mm-hmm. like, for me, it's like he would have won that off the strength, and he still would have gotten fired because, match week 12, we only have 3 wins, and now we're looking at, you know, whoever, and it's like, all right, bro, like, now you have to manage.
No, that's a good question, Salam. I personally don't think he would still be around. Because if you look at Arsenal, they had a really good coach. They had Unai Emery, who took them to a Europa League final, a European Cup final, and they never gave him the time of day because he didn't win it. So he didn't have anything to really stand on. If Arteta did not win that FA Cup, I don't think he's still around. That's true.
But no, I mean, that's a good segue. I mean, we could quickly just recap Arsenal. Obviously, Gabriel's not here. Gabriel's enjoying, Paris, yeah. But yeah, shout out to Gabriel. His team, man, came up clutch. It wasn't pretty, but Trossard came up just by the grace of God. Yeah. By the grace of God. I don't know, man. Like, you got to give it to him, man. You just got to give it to him, man. Like, they get the job done regardless.
Yeah.
And especially when you look at the last time out, the disappointment of, you know, dropping points to City when they were in control of, you know, the majority of the game. I mean, for them to get 3 points, massive, especially when you look over City drop points 2 games in a row. So, just quickly, what were your guys' thoughts on the game?
For me, I was I was hoping it was a draw, obviously. But I mean, as a neutral, you have to respect it because these are what winning teams do. Like, teams that, you know, are going to be in the mix at the end. These are the things they do. They stick to it, they don't give up, they get a result no matter what happens. And I think this weekend, Arsenal did it again. I mean, they're going to be in the mix. That's the thing. Are they going to win it? That's a different story. Yeah. So, you know, you have to give them credit when it's due. You have to give them credit when it's due. And I'll give Leicester a shout out too. You know, they had a tall task in front of them and
almost did it.
Yeah. So you have to give them some credit as well, but. Yo, shout out to Arsenal, man. That was a good win. You could look back later on in the year, be like, yeah, we needed that win, helped us. So,
yeah. To piggyback off what Mike said, we've already seen them have some, Arsenal have some, like, detrimental results, at least early on, you know. So, that draw to Brighton is going to be a big one. So, shout out to them, man. Like, again, I think the red was harsh. So, for me, it wasn't a red card, but you just got to deal with the cards were dealt at that point, and they saw it out. I think they should have gotten the 3 points, but I don't know, man. It's weird. Like, we've been doing this for 4 years now, and I feel like before it was just like mad smoke. Like, I really didn't respect any of your teams, and I didn't care for any of your teams, maybe because I didn't know the inside outs of any of your teams. But now I've gotten to a point where it's just like, bro, I was watching that match and I forgot that I didn't like City or Arsenal for a second. I was like, this is really good football. Like, I was watching the game like, bro, this is really good. I'm even to the point where it was boring at points where it was like the 70th minute. And I'm like, damn, like, City, they've been able to break Arsenal down for like 30 minutes. What's going on?
Yeah.
I was really watching like, yo, this is really really good football. And I was just like, no matter the result, if Arsenal wins, good for them. If City comes back and they get, you know, another goal or maybe another or to equalize or to win, good for them. But it was just really good football. And Salam, and that's why I say, like, as much as I want your team to not do as good as us, I still want y'all to do good, bro, because it's like it's fun when you look at the top 6 teams and they're all within 2 points of each other. you know, and it's all of our squads and we're all like battling and it's like real healthy competition. And this year, just like you said, with City missing those two key pieces, I think there's going to be a lot more parity in the league. And week to like, and we've kind of been seeing it, bro. We've been saying it for the last couple of years where it's like week to week, you're going to need all 3 points. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like last year, it was mostly just Arsenal and Liverpool. Like y'all need to get 3 points. Yeah. But now I look across the league and I'm like, Villa's here. We're back. Tottenham's here. Newcastle's here. At least for the first six matches, the top six to seven teams look strong. So it's like, I hope this carries out at least through January, man. It makes it fun.
Yeah.
It makes it fun to watch. Because then every single game matters, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you see Ipswich Town versus Tottenham, you're like, did Tottenham go get these 3 points? Or what's going on?
No, it matters. You know? It matters.
Yeah.
This is why, like, again, matter. Like, not to bring it back to United, but it's just like, you look at that red card today, and it's like, man, you're missing three games.
It's massive, bro.
It's always massive. And it's like we're slowly getting guys back. You know, like Euro is supposed to be coming back by the end of October. It's like he's like,
we ain't seen him yet. We ain't even seen him
yet. And I think he's going to be a big part of it. Like, he's going to be a big
part of it. For sure, yeah. You pay 60 bags.
Yeah, bro. Like, we can't even – just can't catch a break.
And this would be the last thing. The way I'm looking at you guys, United, is how I look at Chelsea. How you guys are slipping away this, you know, early in the season.
Yeah,
I think you're gonna pick it back up, but then you're kind of gonna run out of games.
Yeah,
to get where you want to be. Like, look at us. We were one game away from top four last season.
Yeah,
because we waited so long to actually start competing and, you know, put in our results. So I hope that doesn't happen to you guys.
That's a good point, Mike.
Yeah. Hopefully it's just health too. I mean, everybody's getting hurt, but just health. Yeah,
it's great, the predictions.
Yeah, man. Predictions. I'll go first. Midweek, we got Porto. Again, I emphasize the importance of this game earlier when we recapped the game, you know, versus Spurs today. But Porto away from home is going to be tough, bro. Porto is one of those teams too where I feel like they're not even like a Europa League team for real. Like, these guys, these dudes are like actually really good.
They're proper Champions
League. Yeah, man, proper Champions League. I mean, they made it to the round of 16 last year. So, I mean,
Three years, 4 years. I mean, we played them in the round of 16 when we won in 2021.
So, you know, more or less the team that
they make it out of the group stages.
I anticipate more or less should probably be, you know, the same players that saw. But yeah, man, away from home, it's going to be tough. I actually think that we're going to draw this game. I really feel like, I feel at ease with some of these games, like in the cup, though. I really do. Like when we play against Premier League,
you just drew last week.
FC 20.
Not Porto.
Yes, I understand.
Porto's again, proper.
Yes, I understand. But again, like we had that game won. We just
broke down.
We just broke down for whatever reason. You know what I'm saying? We just.
United.
A midfielder who just doesn't scan. And you turn the ball over, and that's just professional sports. So, like, I don't know. We did our part, you know what I'm saying? It's just more of we just got to finish it. But I actually think that, like, the cup games usually are pretty good to us. So I think we'll be in good shape there. I think that the tough game is going to be the Aston Villa game for me. The Aston Villa game. That's gonna be a really tough game. Sunday, 9 a.m. at Villa Park.
That'll be eye opening for you.
Yeah. To be fair, Aston Villa, I think they play midweek games too.
Yeah. So, they're in Champions League and all of that. So.
Yeah, they're in Champions League. So they actually see Bayern Munich on Wednesday. So hopefully, you know, Bayern can slow them down a little bit. But like I said, man. Two games this week of the three games that I think are very pivotal for Ten Hag. So I believe that actually think that we'll get the win at Porto. But the game Sunday versus Aston Villa, that's going to be a big one. But if he loses both, bro, the next time we record,
he might have a new manager.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know,
Mood might be a manager.
Even if that's the case, yeah, I already know who my manager is going to be.
Yeah.
He's there right now, currently.
Yeah. I mean, anybody who didn't think that that guy was brought in as his replacement, hey, he's sitting right behind you every day, putting on the pressure. Yeah. And you keep throwing out the Rashfords to go save your job. Anyways, we play Ghent, I believe, in the UCL Conference League.
Don't call it UCL.
I'm looking for another four,
hey,
three,
don't
four,
call, zero. Hey, Mike, don't call it UCL. And I was trying to, I say you slipped it in UCL, Conference League.
I was slipping.
Hey, that was nasty. I didn't like the way you did that.
I was slipping in there. Oh, man. But I expect another big result. I mean, 3-0, 4-0, these guys are not on our level. So, guys, let's take care of business. And then we see Forest at home. That's a tricky one, too, but I think we'll take care of them. So, I'm not too worried about, I think, 2-0 against Forest.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. honestly, bro, the way that we're looking, I think we score at least 2 goals every match.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, like, I see us scoring more than 2 against Nottingham Forest. I think we're at a space now where we get goals, like, easily. Again, it's just our defending. So, Ghent, I would love to see a lot of the guys that don't normally get a run.
Play time, yeah.
And, Mike, before we get into – you said what's up?
Who are some of those guys?
So,
those guys.
Specifically, I want to talk about, like, Carney Chukwuemeka. Because – so, for example, today, before we hopped on, I got on Instagram and I saw a message or like a little post from one of these blogs. And it was, they were interviewing Nani Madueke and they asked him, who's the most underrated player in Chelsea, right? And he said, Carney. He said, he's the most underrated player in a locker room. You know, he's 6'1". He's plays that like center mid, but also can play winger type role. He's wiry. He's strong. He just hasn't gotten his chance yet. And I'm like, cool. And so I started looking up Carney highlights, and I'm like, I've seen him play. I've seen him get his run. He's even scored for us a few times.
Yeah.
But like he's a decent player. I haven't seen anything, like, crazy, but I think he's a solid player. And then literally before we hopped on and started recording today, I saw a message on Twitter from some journalists out there saying, Maresca says that in January.
Fabrizio. Fabrizio, he was the journalist you saw.
Yeah, he was like, so he was like, we're looking to ship Carney. So I'm like, interesting. We're looking to ship Carney. So
where is he going to play? Yeah. Sorry.
I bring that up to ask, because the way they were saying it, they didn't seem like they were going to send him on loan. They're trying to sell him.
Oh, for sale.
I don't think they're just trying to send him on loan. And for Mike, I wanted to ask, so a lot of these players, because I don't really have a shout out. If anything, I have a shout out whoever decided to let's chop all these players we thought buying 3 years ago was going to be good for us in the future. At what point, because we're trimming down our squad,
mm-hmm.
At what point do you think it's time to, like, do you think we have, how do I want to phrase this? Do we have the squad now that we think is ready to win stuff, or do you think we still need to add some track?
I think we're a few stars away, which are coming in next season, Estevao and Paez. We're just gonna sprinkle them on top. Just
like, I didn't see that, but I don't know where that's coming from, but cool.
Yeah, no, we already have both of them signed. They just their teams.
Estevao, yeah.
Kendry Pryce. They're already signed, but I think those guys, adding those guys, and then Ansel Mino, he plays for Boca Juniors, the center back. I think if we add those guys, we should be ready. Even though there are certain guys I don't want us to get rid of, like Chukwuemeka, I don't want us to get rid of them. Guys like Chilwell can go. I think we've done a very good job clearing out the team. So I don't mind the guys that we're letting go. I'm confident in their decision so far. So I'm not too worried.
All right, cool. All right.
Yeah, let's wrap up with lock of the week and then shout out. So for lock of the week, my lock hit under 3.5 goals.
Mine didn't.
Mike unfortunately had United winning today. We were far from that. Cornelius had Cornelius, what did you have?
I had the Fulham game over 2.5 goals. That did not hit.
Yeah, I think that finished with, what, one goal?
One goal.
Yeah, 1-0.
Yeah, and then, yeah, Gabriel lost his lock of the week as well, too. So, yeah, if you've been with me so far, you've done pretty well.
I've gone up and down, but it's been a weird start to the year. We'll get it right. We'll get it right.
Yeah, man. More to come. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll even start doing midweek Champions League. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Maybe, who knows? For the round of 16, we may start.
But
let's wrap up with shout outs, man. I go first. I just really wanted to shout out someone that I think has had a really good start to the season. We're actually gonna be playing against them next Sunday, but Morgan Rogers, Aston Villa. Is that his name? Morgan Rogers?
Yeah.
Morgan Rogers. I think he's had a great start. I think that there's a lot to his game.
And, did you see his celebration?
I did. And then you see, he did the Trae Young celebration.
Oh, you mean the Cole Palmer's?
Yeah. He did both, because you know what's crazy? I don't know why he did that, because Cole Palmer did like the call, and he also did like the phone, like call me type.
Hold on. This is kind of side note though. This is actually a good one. But did y'all see like that talk about how like Trae Young and Cole Palmer apparently were talking about like whose celebration was it or whatever? Trae Young was saying like, I don't really know dude for real. Like, I heard he's a pretty good soccer player, but like, I don't really
know.
I haven't seen that video.
Yeah.
Nah, we all know where the celebration came from, though. It was Ice Trae. Ice Trae.
I mean, he's older. He got famous first, so.
Girl, he was doing that shit way before.
He would do a little shimmy with it.
Yeah. And I'll just respect, you know, English be, you know, they be biting our shit too, man.
Yeah.
So. Nah, but shout out Morgan Rogers.
My shout out is Cole Palmer, you know, four piece Palmer. I mean, I can't say enough. It really should have been five. Like, if we're being for real, it should have been six. But anyway, we'll get it. We'll get another game.
So you can't break all the records in one day. But shout out Cole, man. First player in the Premier League to get four goals in the first half. He did it in 20 minutes as well. And it was a team effort, you know.
Yeah.
Jackson got one assist and Jadon Sancho with another. The other two were set pieces, one off a corner or a free kick, which was a banger. And then the other one, Cole Penalty Palmer, as some people like to call him.
Mm-hmm.
But man, he's my shout out too as well. But that we really got a special player, man. Like I really can't say enough. We got
apparently the best player in the league.
I'm not gonna dispute it, but I wouldn't say he is right now.
But I don't think who has
had a better
start to this season?
I guess besides the Haaland. If you take Haaland out of it,
nobody.
But then I'm not gonna. Okay, well then, sure. I guess we can put him up there. But to be honest, and this is gonna sound crazy. So I'm only saying it because it's the end of the episode. Most people probably not still listening. But I told my homies, I said, and I don't want to guess, and don't take this the wrong way, but we haven't had a player this influential, and I said it earlier, since Hazard. And the only reason that I'm not going to start comparing them is because...
You did.
No. I'm not. I'm just saying, like, the influence he has on our team is similar to him. But until Cole Palmer wins something as a Chelsea Blue, there's no comparison. You can't compare... You can't compare a legend to somebody who's just now getting the notoriety based off play. Because he can score 30 goals and 15 assists for the next 20 years under a Chelsea shirt. If he doesn't win anything, that's not it don't hit the same. Eden Hazard was able to score goals at the highest levels in the biggest moments. So for me, what I saw him do in championship games, in semifinals, in quarterfinals, to get us through to the final, and then actually end us help win the final. That's where I'm starting to judge him now as a Chelsea player, because
that's fair.
What he did last year as a first year player is unbelievable. What he's doing now
even crazier.
Second year player is unbelievable. So I already know, like, technically as a player, this guy is out of here. But until he starts winning for us, bro, I can't start to compare it. The comparisons will start once he wins his first cup, trophy, whatever. Yeah. All the individual awards, I love that, bro. I love that for you. But it's a team sport. It's a team sport. So until you can get us over the hump, you're just another good player for us, bro. You're not a great.
Hazard had me at the edge of my seat every time he got on the ball, man.
Bro, it's crazy.
But dog, how many individual talents done walk through United who you were like, yeah, we got this player. He's such a baller. But he ain't really win none with you, bro. Like, think about how many players.
The only one that I would really say that is really, but he's won too. Like Pogba.
Ibra. Oh, I was gonna say
Ibra's won.
I know he won.
Ibra's won in his first year. In his first year, he won the FA Cup.
He didn't play, but yes,
he won. He didn't win in the Europa League final, but he was a big reason why we even made it that far.
I mean, he was on the team, so
yeah. No. Yeah. I agree.
FA Cup final. Yeah,
that's all I gotta say about CP. That's my shout out. And I'm just saying, man, we got a special one. Thank you, Pep, Josep.
He's gonna come to United soon. He's a United fan.
Man, he ain't going nowhere, bro.
Yeah,
we'll see. I think he's gonna be so locked in at Chelsea, bro. He has a 9-year contract.
That's a few million.
First of all, welcome to Death Row. Price tag these days. They saying price tag these days around too high.
He moves where we say okay.
Too high, man. Hey. He's on that Yamal ting. $200 million.
Yeah,
it's all good.
$200 million.
When he gets to y'all, he'll be on his last legs.
Oh, English tax? $250 million.
I got him on that on the Birdman contract.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere.
Y'all not gonna see him till he need a hair transplant like Rooney.
Yeah.
That's how old he gonna be.
Uh-huh. All right.
Well, good episode, guys. I mean, we covered a lot. Yeah, you guys let us know your thoughts on our topics. You know, should Ten Hag be sacked?
Is
Chelsea? This is definitely going to be a snippet, but is Chelsea competing? And if so, what are they competing for?
Yeah.
And most importantly, the biggest question: who's going to win the league this year? Is it going to be? I'm not gonna ask what I really wanted to ask because I want to wait till Gabriel's back. But I just, you know, I think it's about time we start seeing some results. But, yeah, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Appreciate everybody's support. Good luck to you in your future endeavors.